John chapter 2. We're still part two of advancing in the midst of adversity. I mean, how many of you are walking in some kind of trial right now? Physical, mental, emotional, right? Come on, all of us, right? How do you walk through that?
If
you, yep. What? True. But it's leaning on Jesus, right? Last week I didn't get too far because the Holy Spirit just moved as we just began that message last week, and so that's why we're there. Hopefully you brought your notes along with you. If you didn't, I hope that you got some, because I hope that you're taking notes and that you're growing in Jesus. But last week we looked at, number one, the steadfastness of believers. John was talking to those who had dropped out, those who had abandoned their faith. These are the group of people that had refused to remain committed to Jesus Christ. John knew that if we don't encourage each other, if we don't remain in the fight, if we don't remain in the faith, then it's easy to go backwards, right? In the olden days, we called that backsliding. You don't hear that terminology anymore too much today, but we called that backsliding, where we would back away from our faith. We'd back away into sin instead of moving forward. And I know it isn't easy to walk in adversity, but can I tell you something? It is certainly possible. It is possible to walk through adversity in your life. And it is possible to become all that God has desired you to be, because He's designed you to be amazing. He's designed you to do those things and gifted you with the things that He specifically gifted you to do for the kingdom of God. And sometimes we forget those things that He's equipped us to be, the change agents that He's charged us to be, and that we can walk through adversity, that we can walk in faith. In verse 24, John gives a command, and he says this: "Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning." I want to say this: the believer is different. We are different than the world. Jesus said that we must not be of the world, but what? To walk in the world. So that makes us different. That makes us unique people, right? And I love the uniqueness of the kingdom of God. I love the uniqueness of each and every one of you. Each and every one of you make me smile. Each and every one of you get on my nerves. But you know what? You're loved. And I know that you love us and you love Jesus Christ. We are different, and we are called to be different. We receive the truth of salvation at salvation. Did you know? You received the truth of God at salvation. You received the indwelt Holy Spirit inside of you when you accepted Jesus Christ. You see, we may grow weary from time to time, but I hope you have no desire to abandon the faith. Many today are abandoning the faith. They are in what I'll call backsliding motion, because the world is... Listen, there is so much out there today that can entice us to move away from God, right? So much. I want to let you really grasp this. You can become stronger in adversity. Did you know that? You can become stronger. But becoming stronger is a choice. It's a choice that you and I have to make. Because our problems, our hurts, our trials, our the things that we're going through in life will always be pounding us. It's always in our mind. Where does Satan attack us first? In our mind, right? He always attacks us in our mind. And we have to make sure that we have that under control, that we can tell Satan to take a hike when it's the appropriate time to tell him to take a hike. That he has no authority over you. That you have all authority in Jesus Christ. John also commands us, but he also gives us a commitment. He says, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. So what is John saying? John is saying, be committed, right? You made that commitment. When Amy and I chose to be married, we made a commitment to one another. And I think that our commitment, we love each other immensely, but I think our commitment is greater. Does that make sense? I just married a young couple a couple weeks ago, and I told them, you know, they were like, oh, we fell in love. And if that statement just is like, come on, you don't fall in love. You fall in like. Right? You fall in like. When you decide that you're going to get married, what should happen is you've made the commitment forever. Right? I know. Things happen, divorces happen, stuff like that. Don't. I know there's circumstance and I know there's things that happen. But the object and the goal is to be committed, right? There are people who abuse and stuff, and there is no way that somebody should be in an abusive relationship when that person can't stop. There are things in relationships that have to end because they instead of building us up, they tear us down. But what I think, what I'm trying to let you know is that your commitment, what John is trying to let us know, is that our commitment to Christ has to be foremost, right? It has to be the foremost thing in our life, that we are committed. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Because here's the comfort John gives in verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Man, we get eternal life because of what Jesus Christ did for us, right? We should be encouraged and we should be emboldened because of what God has done for us and what he's given us. That he cares for us and that he loves us. This is where we left off last week. And this is where we're going to be. If you have your notes, verse 26 and 27 of 1 John 2 is where we're going to be. And here John begins to speak about the strength that you have in your relationship, not only with him, but the strength that you have through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. He says this in verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So the first question you should ask is, who seduces you? Who's seducing you? You can answer.
The devil.
Who's seducing you? Is it just the devil? The world? What else? Come on.
He has a lot of tools.
Well, right. He has tools. So,
selfish desire.
So Satan sets things out before us, but we have the choice to choose to or not to, right? So, really, it lays it on us. The seducing part is that the enemy, Satan, lays out things for us so that we can be seduced. But in the end, it's our choice to be seduced or not to be seduced. It's our choice to make the right decision or not to make the right decision, to fall into the path of destruction instead of a path of backsliding instead of moving forward. John is sharing with us about the tactics of the enemy. He's trying to get us to see that as believers, we can expect to encounter everything and anything from him. And not to be surprised about things that come at us and how we may struggle in those things. Out of nowhere, something happens. And we go like, what in the world, right? Amy and I were talking about this. We're like, okay, man, all of us, you know, we're going along good in life, and then all of a sudden, bam. Right? Something happens. Amy gets psoriatic arthritis, and it's like she's walking in pain all the time. Just like that, we're walking along, bam, cancer, right? Bam, a hurt back. Bam, lost a job. Bam, and you're like, whoa, where did all of this come from? We were walking good. You know what I mean, right? And it seems like the world is overwhelming. John is trying to let us know that we have strength to get through these things. We have strength to get through the struggles. That all we have to do is put our faith in God and to trust Him and to use the tools that we have, the scriptural tools that we have. That's why, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I have to go through this again. These are spiritual tools. Paul is talking about giving us spiritual tools so that we can overcome, right? So that we can be strong. So that we can, as Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. You, write this down, I am powerful. Write it down in your notes. I am powerful. Because you are in Jesus Christ. In verse 10 through 18. Nope, we can't do it on our own, can we, Shirley? We need the scriptures. We need to be able to stand up to when Satan tricks us. Jesus did. Jesus used the scriptures. He put Satan in his place every time when he used the scripture. Here Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God, right? He says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So put on the full armor of God. What is the full armor of God? Verse 14, stand firm then, right? Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. On the back of your notes, there's space for you to write because this isn't going to be in PowerPoint, okay? Maybe it is. Maybe it is in PowerPoint. It probably is in PowerPoint. Slide 9 through 11. Right, it's there. Okay. So I had to remember if I did it or not. Sometimes you're walking through your week. It was just like a couple of weeks ago. I was doing my PowerPoint. I thought I had done my PowerPoint. Let me put it that way. So I come Sunday morning, and I'm in there putting it in on the computer like I normally do. And I'm looking for it, and I'm looking for it. And I went, oh, I must have saved it on my other computer. I must have saved it on my computer, not on my, my outward drive, not my inward drive. And so I look there too, and I can't find it. And I realize I'm like, how in the world? I always remember to do my PowerPoint. So then I do my PowerPoint, and there's Roger and Will in the back, right? And somehow, some way, I know I put it in there. I know I put it in there, right? Somehow, they all got jiggled around, and they were trying to follow me and figure out what point I was talking about, and they finally went like, ugh.
At the beginning.
Don't let Satan do that to you. You see, write this down also. You are complete. Say that to yourself just once. I'm complete. Who are you complete in? You're complete in God. You know why? Because you have the armor of God. You can put on the armor of God. You have the ability to put on the armor of God. But see, putting on the armor of God is a choice, right? truth, righteousness. We have the choice. Go to Romans chapter 13. Oh, where's my Bible? Here it is. Because I want you to see this, right? The armor of God is divine. The armor of God is an armor of light. And in Romans, let me get there with you. Romans chapter 13. Verse 12. Paul says this. Well, actually go up to verse 11. He says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come. What was John doing? He was telling the people the hour has come, right? We're in the last days. And you're going like, well, that was over 2,000 years ago. Yes, but the last days started. When Jesus Christ went up to heaven, the last day started. And he says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Your salvation is nearer now. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. To put on the armor of light. What's the armor? The armor of God. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of light. Then verse 14 says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So you clothe yourselves in Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? Well, here it is. I know I've told you this before, but the armor of God is offensive and it's defensive, right? Because the armor, when the armor was given out, it was given out to do two things. It was given out to protect and to also defend, right? Protect and to, I guess, kill, attack. Attack's a better word than kill. Did you know you could attack the devil right in his shoes, right where he's standing, right? You have the ability to cut him down and rip him up into pieces. You have that authority. You know, sometimes we don't walk in the authority that God has given us because we don't think we can. But I want to tell you this morning, we can walk in the authority. We can stand strong and we must walk in the authority because we are in the last days. Read a quick article this morning that Billy Graham's daughter, I can't remember her name, huh? Anne, said that she believes that this political scene we have in our country is ushering in Jesus Christ. And she's never said, they don't say stuff like that. The Graham Association doesn't say stuff like that willy-nilly. That he's setting up for the ushering in, whether we believe he's doing good or not, however that, and I don't know if that's true or not. If it comes to pass, we'll know that it was true. If it doesn't, we'll know it was just her thought. Because we have thoughts all the time, don't we? So what's happening? The political structure in the world is ushering in the return of Jesus Christ. And so you got to be strong. Because the political world does not want Jesus. And actually, they're anti-Christ. John said it. The world's political structure, not just our countries, is of the anti-Christ. And for Jesus to come and to usher in, for the prophecies to be ushered in, right? For us to see, then things have to happen that won't be pleasing. That's why you have to be strong. That's why the adversities and things that you go through in life, right? These are just the precursors to what may happen in the future. Go to, I lost my spot, 2 Corinthians 6:7. It's just a couple books. 2 Corinthians 6:7. Paul is talking about his hardships here, right, in chapter 6. And Paul here in verse 7 also says the same thing he says in Romans 13 as he talked to the Roman church. He talked to the Corinthian church. And he says this in verse 7. He said, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness. Right? Here's the armor of righteousness in operation in verse 7. You can read the rest of this, right? And I would challenge you to read the rest of 3 through probably 13. But Paul says, in truthful speech and in the power of God, he's saying the power of God. We have the power of God in us. And he says, with weapons of righteousness. What's a weapon of righteousness?
Sword of the Spirit.
What? Come on, weapons of righteousness. The Bible. What else? What are weapons of righteousness?
Shield of faith.
I mean, we're taught... We're going to walk through this in a second. What else? Love? Fruit of the Spirit? Faith? Belief? What?
Fellowship?
See, weapons of righteousness are things that we use on the offensive, right? Not on the defensive. Because Paul says we have one in the left and we have one in the right, or one in the right and one in the left, if you're right-handed or left-handed or whatever you are. Say that louder. Say that again. Right? And you're like, oh, Pastor, you're just being corny. But it's a great illustration of how we can attack the enemy, and we can be blocked from the flaming arrows, right? Attack, defend, attack, defend, attack, defend. Have you watched enough movies on TV old Roman movies where what would they do? With the sword, and the other guy would hold up his... Yeah. Paul says in verse 14... that we need to girdle ourselves with truth, right? In Isaiah, and write this down because you can read it later. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5, it was prophesied of Christ that righteousness should be the girdle of his loins and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. We need to have that wrapped around us, don't we? In verse 14, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, right? We need that. We need the truth as our girdle. And I know ladies, not too many ladies wear girdles anymore. That's a thing in the past, right? Now they're Spanx. That's right. Now they're Spanx. Put on your Spanx today. Men have Spanx too if you really want to tuck in the belly. Then Paul says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? You know what the breastplate is? The breastplate secures the vitals. It shelters the heart. You need that breastplate around your heart so that you cannot get hurt, because the righteousness of Christ imputed is our breastplate against the arrows of the enemy. That's what it's there for. It's the righteousness of Christ implanted in us. You know why God doesn't see your sin? Through the blood, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why God doesn't see your sin, because Jesus has done it all for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, you can write that down. Apostle says, put on the breastplate of faith and love. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, because faith and love, right, include all the Christian graces. It includes all of those things. You see, you can make it through adversity because you have all it takes for you to do that inside of you. God has provided through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is inside of you. And then Paul says in verse, 15, he says, and with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You know what those words are? You know what that is? We call them shoes, right? Way back when, they called those greaves. What they were is they covered the shoe. They covered the shoe, and they were made of brass. And you know why they even covered their feet? Because if you couldn't stand or walk anymore, right? You weren't any good. Because how could you go out and be offensive? And their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because in those days they used sharp sticks, they used traps, they used all kinds of things so that these shoes of brass would protect them. And then Paul says in verse 16 that we must put on the shield of faith. We must take on the shield of faith. Faith must be our shield, right? Faith is one of the most important things that we need. Because when we have faith, we can believe that God is going to bring us through anything. Paul said this, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, right? Paul also wrote this. He said, faith is the evidence of things not seen and the substance of things hoped for. I love the Jews because they had a name for God for everything, right? Think about this. They called God Yahweh. They called him I Am. They called him El. They called him Elohim. Elohim means that he was their creator. They called him Jehovah, which meant Lord. They called him El Shaddai, which meant my supplier. They called him Adonai, which means my master. They called him Jehovah Jireh, which means my provider. They called him Jehovah Rophe, which means my healer. They called him Jehovah Nisse, which means my banner. And they called him Jehovah Madish, which means our sanctifier. I wrote that down this morning. The Holy Spirit just spoke. It gave me goosebumps then. It gave me goosebumps right now. Come on. We need. Don't you need El Shaddai right now, my supplier? Don't you need Jehovah Jireh, my provider? Don't you need Adonai, my master? Don't you need Jehovah, my Lord? Don't you need Jehovah Rapha, my healer? Amen. How many of you need a healing this morning? Right now, in Jesus' name, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, you are our healer. Today, God, I ask that you begin to heal those who need healing in their bodies, that are struggling, God, in their bodies right now. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, to do those things to bring health and healing back in those who need it right now. I pray in Jesus' name. Don't you need Jehovah Jireh, my provider? Father God, bring healing, God, to those areas that God have gone empty. Bring things. Provide those that you say in your word that you'll take care of us. That if we seek first your kingdom and all your righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. God, we need you. Will needs a job, God, in this area. They don't want to move somewhere, other place of this country, and we don't want them to. We ask that a job will open up in Jesus' name. And for Tony and for those who have needs, God, we pray, right? Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Remember that song? Jehovah Jireh, my provider is not sufficient for me, for or something like that. It's been a while since I sung that song. How about Jehovah Nisi, my banner? What did each tribe have as they walked before God? Their banner. What did it represent? Their family. What's our banner? LifePoint. We're a family. I bet you're not going to get through this either. It's 11 o'clock already. Jehovah Madish, my sanctifier. Who sanctifies us? God sanctifies us. God is our sanctifier, right? Faith is the evidence of things not seen and the substance of things hoped for. We know these are chairs. We know they're not going to turn to jelly and you're going to fall on your butt. Because we see it, right? But there are things in the unseen you don't know that's happening on your behalf that you have to trust God for. You just have to ask. And whether it happens, listen. Faith doesn't give up when things don't happen the way we think they should. Faith keeps going to trust God in whatever situation we're walking through in adversity. Because here's the last two. The salvation, the helmet of salvation, right? And you know what the helmet of salvation is? It's hope. Do you have hope today? Do you have hope today? We have to have hope. We have to have hope. No matter how things look, no matter what, we must have hope. And that's what the helmet of salvation is for. It's to keep us purified in our soul and in our mind. And to believe in God. And then there's the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God, right? We need the word of God. We need the sword of the Spirit. Because the sword of the Spirit is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And this strengthens us. Because John goes on to say, verse 27, go back to 1 John 2. In verse 27, John begins to tell us that you are anointed. And all of this strengthens our anointing. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. See, you have an anointing inside of you. You are anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Come on, I'm anointed. You and I are anointed, and we're amazing because God put us and created us to be. John is just telling them, listen, you don't have to be taught anything. You already know. You're already indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches you all things. Because in John, the book of John, chapter 16, verse 13, John wrote this, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. Who's showing you all things? The Holy Spirit that resides inside of you. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:13, Paul wrote this. He says, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. See, when people tell me, you know, over the years people have said, you know, I just don't understand the Bible. So you see, when people tell me that, I ask them, are you allowing the Holy Spirit in your life to teach you? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to show you the truths of God's word? Are you allowing so that you can understand? You see, the more you ask, the more God will give you. The more you ask, the more God will give you. But you have to ask. You got to ask. You see, when you walk into Costco and the food and they're putting samples out, most people just go and grab one and walk away, right? But if you're have manners, you say, "May I have one?" Are they ever going to say no? What's their job? Their job is to have you eat one of those samples at Costco so you'll buy the product. Listen, God, the product of God is better than any product we could ever get on this earth. And all he's saying is ask. And he's never going to refuse. The Holy Spirit will never refuse you unless it's against God's word. Unless it's against him. The end of verse 27 says, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. We need to abide in him, right? If Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Underline that in your Bible. The promised Holy Spirit, right? Promised. Who promised you? God promised you the Holy Spirit. Who is a deposit? Underline deposit. Is guaranteeing. Underline guaranteeing. Our inheritance. Underline inheritance. Until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We are God's possession. We are his people. We are his children. Peter calls us high priests, right? To the praise of his glory. And finally, here's John's challenge. And now, little children, abide in him. And he says it again. And now, little children, abide in him. Because we are challenged to abide in the Lord. And you know what the word abide means? The word abide means to dwell, to continue, to stay, to rest in, or upon. It carries the idea of being set and remaining there, remaining continually in a fixed state, condition, or being. To be in him, to stay in him, to be fixed in him. Because at the end of verse 28, John says, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Be confident, children of God. Be confident. Don't give up in our confidence. Satan wants you to feel like you're a loser, and he wants you to feel like you can't do anything, but with Christ we can do all things. And that's our challenge. Because in verse 29 he says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. See, here's where people fight a lot over what that means. You see, what John is saying, if you bear fruit for the kingdom of God, you will be known by the fruit you bear, right? If you are bearing the fruit of the kingdom of God, then you're going to look like the juiciest apple that ever, you know, I wish I could remember. There's a new apple out, and they say it's the most delicious apple you've ever eaten. Pink lady. No, not a pink lady. I like Honeycrisp, right? But it's supposed to be better than Honeycrisp.
The envy apple?
The what?
The envy apple.
Maybe it's the envy apple. It probably is the envy. And why would they call it the envy apple, right? Our challenge. It's evident to see those who don't have what John is talking about. You see, you can look at people and you can cast a vast judgment and say, well, they don't bear fruit, so they're not saved. It's not up to you and I to determine who's saved and who's not saved. It's God, right? But what John is saying, you will know those who are really connected into the vine by what they bear, by the fruit they bear. That's why it's important for us to have character, right? Because character is who we are in Jesus Christ. It's, we do the same thing whether somebody's looking or not, right? When I was buying those boxes, right, so we could put the food in them, I always saved the receipt, and I paid for, I had bought some other things, and I paid for the boxes, and so I was walking out, and the thought hit me, right? That doesn't seem like enough. It just doesn't seem like enough. And so I stopped, right? And I looked at the receipt, and sure enough, instead of 10 boxes, she charged me for one box. A $18 difference, right? And the first thing Satan said to me is, oh, this is for a good cause, just walk out the door. Right? Character. Righteousness. Doing what's right. Doing what's right. And you know what? There's always people at Walmart. And that cashier that I had she had taken care of me, there was nobody in her line. She's just standing there, right? And so I turn around to look back, and all the rest of the cashiers have lines except for her. Why? Because God had set in motion something that she needed to be taught, and I needed to be taught, right? I had to overcome the temptation to walk out the door, and she had to see, because her first, she said to me, why didn't you just walk out the door? That's what she said to me, why didn't you just walk out the door? And I said, and I looked at her right in the eyes, and I said, because it's not right. Because it's not right. Bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, bearing fruit, bearing righteous fruit, means we do the things that are right. You know what I said to her? I said, my God teaches me to do right. Bearing fruit for the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. Abiding in him. Walking through adversity and becoming stronger as you walk through it. I mean, the whole story about, you know, us walking through with Zach, what he went through, has made us stronger. Right, sometimes we don't seem like it, but it has. And there is so much more. And whatever you go through this week, because you just heard a message this morning that challenges you to be all you can be in Jesus Christ. And Satan's going to come your way and knock on your door this week, if not after you leave this place. And are you going to be in the vine, and are you going to bear fruit, righteous fruit, even in adversity, right? That's what John's talking about through here. Next week, we're going to go into chapter 3. We'll just do one verse next week, because there's a lot in that one verse. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, we're grateful today that we could come and not only worship you, but to hear your word. And I hope that, Father God, we've grown in you, that, Father God, we have understood the message so that we can apply it to our life. And right now we take authority over Satan that he doesn't steal away what was spoken today. That instead we allow the presence of the Holy Spirit guide us and encourage us, and that we stand strong together. We love you immensely, and we just pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Will you give somebody a hug, and make sure you go back and hug